You want to talk, witch? I'll start. You made a choice last night that had catastrophic consequences. If I hadn't been there, you'd be dead. It was annoyingly true. Getting my sister's amulet back was worth whatever it cost me. And if I had to do it all over again, I would, without hesitation. Which proves you're either reckless or foolish, or both. If I'm so foolish and reckless, why save me? I held up a hand. Spare me from the protection charm excuse. You and I both know that's not the whole truth. He opened his mouth, and I cut him off again. I don't know the exact spell you used, but I know enough of certain rituals and their requirements that I have a pretty good guess. Tell me why you saved me. Now. He arched a brow.
Do you have any more demands, Your Highness? Or may I go?
As a matter of fact, I do. Did you use a rebirth spell on me? He shook his head. Then why weren't we wearing clothes? A smile slowly tugged at the corners of his mouth. His expression resembled that of an immensely pleased yet smug male.
Because you ripped mine off like a hell beast in heat.
I shot him a dirty look. He blew out a breath that almost sounded like a laugh. Since he couldn't lie to me, it had to be true enough for him to say it. I rolled my eyes. I'd been clearly out of my mind, and I told him as much.
Also, because the Viperidae inject venom that acts like ice, we needed to reverse the effects quickly. Body heat and hot water were the most efficient and quick ways to prevent hypothermia from killing you.
It was true. But I also heard him whispering in that strange language. Wrath wasn't lying, but he was keeping secrets. You kissed me.
He abruptly looked away. Fever dreams have peculiar side effects.
I grinned. I might not know the full spell, but I knew the chaste kiss was part of whatever magic he'd summoned. He probably neither wanted to, nor had much of a choice in the matter. But I'm glad he suffered through it, or else I'd be dead. When I'd found myself inside his head last night, his expression wasn't one of love, but fear. That, despite his best efforts, I was a splinter slowly burrowing under his immortal skin. And one day, I might travel deeply enough to pierce his stone heart. He wouldn't be wrong. No matter if he'd sacrificed some small portion of his power to save me, I'd never forget who he really was. He was a self-centered demon with a mission to protect his own world using any means necessary. He didn't really care about this realm or the witches who'd been murdered. His focus was on what it all meant for him. The fear I saw in his heart had nothing to do with me personally. But what emotional entanglements represented in general? Death. As in death of all he was and chose to be. Princes of Hell were loyal to none but themselves. Wrath would take an enemy to his bed in an instant if it meant garnering information or power. And I doubted he'd loathe it. I moved until we were nearly touching. He didn't back away, but he didn't reach for me either. His behavior had nothing to do with goodness or blossoming friendship or even lust, and everything to do with gain. I just didn't yet understand how or why he needed me alive. But I would do everything I could to find out what his true goals were. His attention slipped to my mouth. There wasn't anything kind or sweet in his gaze. In fact, there was hardly anything soft in it at all. Sometimes when he looked at me, I swore I sensed a beast hiding beneath the mask of skin he wore. It was restless, feral. I had a feeling he kept the monster locked away, but it was never far. I fought a shudder. I didn't ever want to be around when he decided to let his inner animal out of its cage. A taunting smile curved his lips.
Is this the part where you thank me with a kiss? Hardly. I'm not like you, demon. I don't kiss people I hate, and I never will. Never? Are you certain you'd like to make such a declaration? I wasn't certain of anything at the moment. I was confused and buzzing with magic that wasn't entirely my own. I'd lived through 24 hours from hell, with Nonna's attack, my own brush with death, and being saved by my enemy. His power thrummed through me, filled me. For a second, I wanted him to reach over and drag his hands down my body, which made no sense. I couldn't think with him standing so near. I desperately needed a moment to myself, to collect my thoughts and decide how to proceed. And I couldn't accomplish any of those things with the half-naked demon crowding my space. Power surged through my veins. Before wrath dazzled me with more charm, I whispered a containment spell that must have been fueled with his demon magic, because it did not go as planned. One second he was standing there, and the next he was gone. Winked out of existence. It happened so quickly, but I'd managed to catch a glimpse of his face before he'd disappeared. He looked so betrayed. A mix of emotion haunted me for several minutes. He was my enemy, even if he'd saved me. That one act of goodness didn't erase the fact. And yet, I wasn't sure if I hoped I'd sent him back to the underworld, or if I hoped he was imprisoned in the cave again. It shouldn't matter where he was. Even if I felt slightly guilty for using his own magic against him, I refused to let it color my judgment. He had his mission, and I had mine. That was it. I rummaged around on the floor, but couldn't find my clothes. Damn demon. Of all the ways he could take his vengeance, I didn't predict walking through the city streets naked to be one of them. I glanced up, ready to curse wrath to hell again, and noticed a new dress folded in a neat pile in the corner where he'd been standing. I lifted it up, surprised by its beauty. Dark skirts had tastefully placed gold glitter sprinkled across them, not unlike his shimmering luchicare. Black sheer sleeves fell gracefully from an off-the-shoulder top, and a gold corset with thorns and wings stitched across the back finished it off. I forgot my clothing had been torn by the Viperidae attack. Some feeling I'd rather not dwell on took shape as I held the gown. I shoved it away. The demon prince's magic crackled under my skin, infected my soul. I didn't want to like how alive it made me feel. I quickly dressed, needing a mundane task to focus on while my feelings darted from one extreme to the next. With wrath gone, it was only marginally easier to think. Mostly because my thoughts kept returning to him, to the expression on his face. I'd hurt his feelings, and it bothered me. What a ludicrous turn of events. His family sent invisible ghost demons to attack my grandmother and steal my cornicello, and I was feeling bad about potentially banishing a demon to hell, where he lived and ruled probably happily. In the height of demonic luxury, with fire and brimstone and an orchestra of the screaming souls of the damned. Still, it might have been a rash decision. Unpleasantness aside, wrath could be useful to my quest for justice. I was almost positive he had ulterior motives for aligning himself with me. But when I really needed him, he'd been there. That act, above everything else, told me enough. My soul was safe with him. Which meant we could set our differences aside and work together to solve Vittoria's murder. Neither one of us would love the idea, but at least I could trust that he wouldn't kill me. As of now, the evidence was pointing to a prince of hell being responsible for the murders, not witch hunters.
After what happened with Greed and the attack on Nonna, I needed Wrath on my side. I blew out a long breath, hoping it was a sound decision. Goddess, curse me! Now I had to find out where I'd sent the Prince of Wrath. I grabbed his shirt and stole into the city to track down my missing Prince of Hell. Chapter 22.
If you want me to speak to you now, ask nicely.
I wouldn't call it relief, but a knot in my chest loosened when I found Wrath stuck in the summoning circle again. He wasn't angry like I'd expected, only a touch bemused. I supposed he didn't expect to be banished right after saving my life. Which was fair. To be honest, I hadn't expected to repay him that way either. Are all demons mad, or is it just you? He blew out a breath.
You're not the most pleasant viper in the pit, are you? Thanking someone who saved your life by imprisoning them isn't how things are done in my realm. And there's no denying you could stand to work on your manners.
All thoughts of striking a tentative alliance left me. A demon lecturing about manners was the most ridiculous thing I'd ever heard. The very nerve of him. I fired off a dozen different suggestions, that included farm animals, for what he could do with his remaining time on Earth.
Charming. I wonder where your creativity comes from. Perhaps personal experience?
Bickering wasn't getting us anywhere, and I had more important things to do. Apparently, Wrath felt the same way. He narrowed his eyes, scrutinizing me.
What's got your skirts all twisted, witch?
Nothing.
If it's about the spell I used, or the dress.
It's not. For some reason, now that I was near him again, I wasn't quite ready to ask for his help solving my sister's murder. I needed some other assurance that this was the best course of action. And there was one thing he might be able to answer that would help me make up my mind. If he didn't laugh himself to death first. I closed my eyes and counted to 10. An invisible demon attacked my grandmother yesterday, and before that, I think it was stalking me. I expected him to mock me or ask if I'd recently indulged in too many spirits. Instead, he studied me very carefully.
Did it speak to you?
I nodded. It said, he's coming. Wrath paced around the bone circle.
Sounds like an umber demon. But for it to be here and speak to you, did it say anything else?
I don't remember exactly. The first time it said something about memories and hearts being stolen.
The first time?
He swung around to stare at me. Wrath wasn't very good at showing a wide range of emotions. Probably because he was an immortal being spawned in hell and not a human. But was clearly surprised at this news.
Exactly how many times have you encountered it?
Maybe 3? I thought I was being followed in the monastery that night. Then I found my sister and didn't think about it again. I started walking around the outer edge of the circle. What's an Umbra demon?
Mercenary spies, mostly. They sell their services to any royal house that has use for them. There are a few who are only loyal to pride. They're mostly incorporeal and are very hard to kill. Magic doesn't always work on them the way you'd imagine it to.
Very hard to kill wasn't impossible to kill. A silver lining, if ever there was one. If it's supposed to be spying, why reveal itself?
That's the question, isn't it, witch? They typically don't speak at all.
Do you think Greed hired it?
Why would I think that?
I looked him over for signs of deception. Surely he knew his brother was here. Because I spoke with him in his gambling den right before my grandmother was attacked. And I may have tricked him into giving me more information than he'd originally agreed to. It's not his sin, but I'm sure his royal pride was injured.
Funny.
Wrath gave me a dry look.
It is nearly impossible to fool a prince of hell.
Well, unless he was lying about who he was, tricking him wasn't that hard. I couldn't tell if Wrath believed me, and I didn't care. You said that some Umbra demons are loyal to pride. Do you think he sent them? Given the fact that it stole one of his horns, it seemed likely. But Wrath didn't know that's what I'd been after when I'd invaded the Viperidae nest. I was interested in his response.
It's possible, but not probable. Not when I'm here. An Umbra demon can't transvenio to the underworld. They can only slip between realms if a prince sends them, or if they're summoned. And even then, that sort of power can only be used during specific periods.
How does traveling between the realms work?
It's like plucking threads of time and weaving them in different places.
Vague. If someone was trying to summon the devil, would you be able to tell? Wrath got a sharp glance my way.
You can't be summoned.
What if someone had the Horn of Hades? Could pride be summoned then?
The demon prince went very still. His surprise only lasted a second before a slow smile spread across his face.
You've been busy.
I had been, and I'd done a decent job so far of tracing my sister's steps. But now I needed help. Wrath might be my enemy, but he'd saved my life. I hoped it meant I could trust him. I thought carefully about what I wanted to do next. His responses about the Umbra demon reminded me of my twin, and the way she'd take notes in her diary, and it put me at ease. It was like Vittoria was giving me her blessing for the most unusual of unions. I reminded myself that Wrath could have easily tried taking my soul or bargaining for my life as I lay dying. And he didn't do either of those things. Instead, he sacrificed his own power without expecting payment. Will you help me figure out if that happened?
If someone summoned pride, he asked.
I nodded. He looked highly skeptical.
We'd need to know the place where the summoning was attempted, and nothing is guaranteed. Was the Horn of Hades combined, or was just one horn used?
Just one. I inhaled. And I know where to start. So you'll help?
You need to be more specific when asking to break the containment charm. And don't forget to use my title. It is polite to do so.
I glanced down at his dagger I'd retrieved from home, then flicked my attention back to his. He grinned again. This time it was filled with genuine amusement.
Not my rules.
Will you please leave the bone circle and assist me in finding out if someone summoned pride, Prince Wrath? It was the first time I'd ever broken a containment spell, and it was strange. I didn't have to whisper an incantation. Simply requesting him to leave the summoning circle did the trick. An electric charge in the atmosphere filled the cave, expanding slowly until it pushed the containment circle's border away. There was a slight crackle, and then the outside world returned in full.
Wrath suddenly towered over me. If you value our new alliance, do not ever use that containment spell on me again, witch. Trust goes both ways. My patience grows weary.
Fine. If you want my trust, stop helping pride find a wife.
I can't.
Well, then don't be surprised when I defend myself using any means necessary. He paced away, running a hand through his hair. I watched impassively as he strode back over to me. Determination flashed in his gold eyes.
Hand me my dagger.
I shot him an incredulous look.
I only need it for a moment. And no, I won't stab you with it.
Though he probably wanted to. Badly. I unstrapped the serpent dagger from the holster at my hip and handed it over. Wrath dropped to one knee.
Emilia Maria Di Carlo, you have my word that I will not physically harm a witch, nor force her into a marriage with pride.
He dragged the blade across his palm and pressed his bleeding hand against his heart.
On honor of my crown and my blood, I vow that my current mission is to save souls, not take them.
He stood and handed his dagger back to me, hilt first. Another show of trust. I replaced the blade and looked him over. His wound was already sealed. Aren't you going to ask me to accept your blood trade from earlier?
I would prefer if you accepted it, but I will not force you to. Are you satisfied by my vow?
For the time being.
Good enough.
He brushed past me, stopping near the edge of the cave. Resisting the urge to shove him into the sea below, I silently followed, taking in the silver-backed waves, undulating like a mammoth ebony creature beneath the full moon as he stretched. Blood and bones, of course. A full moon meant more trouble. And my hands were already full of around 6'2" of it. Here. I slapped the shirt I'd bought him against his chest. I don't care if you hate it, if it smells, or if you're too princely for peasant clothes, but you will wear this while we're walking through the city. The last thing we need is to draw any more attention to you. Wrath and I settled against the building adjacent to the monastery, watching lights snuff out one by one. Soon the Brotherhood would be asleep in their bedchambers. What possessed you to swear a blood vow to me?
I wanted to offer a twig of trust. You mean an olive branch? Same concept, witch.
He tipped his face up at the moon.
Also, I might have wanted more of those things you brought. If you died, then I'd have to hunt them down. It would have been inconvenient.
The cannoli? I asked, feigning incredulity at his attempt at humour. You saved me, in part, for some sweetened ricotta. Thank the goddess he didn't seem to grasp how popular they were, or how widely they could be found in the city. Do you think the Umbra Demon is watching us? Tucked snugly between the shadows, it was too dark to see his features clearly, but I pictured his look of resignation anyway.
Are you scared?
A perfect non-answer to my question. I knew he was referencing the Umbra Demon, but the truth was, Wrath scared me too. Anyone who wasn't a little afraid to enter a chamber with the demon last seen with their murdered loved one would be an idiot. A couple streets over, voices rumbled like distant thunder. Laughter followed, bold and boisterous. Palermo was a city that worshipped the night as much as it basked in the glory of the day. Festivals, feasts. There always seemed to be some occasion worth celebrating, especially with food and drink. I hoped to stop the monster bent on destroying that before it struck again. Several minutes of quiet later, the last golden light inside went dark.
All right. It's time.
Wrath said, straightening.
If you'd prefer to stay here, then stay. I don't coddle.
I ignored him, then slipped into the shadows, letting him talk to himself. He seemed to enjoy the sound of his own voice well enough. It felt rude to interrupt.
I won't comfort or tend to your wounds, emotional or otherwise. I despise...
When the door across the alley creaked open, his mouth snapped shut. I flashed him a scathing look as I pushed it wider in invitation. He stood there, scowling. I'd wager anything he hadn't heard me move. I wondered how many people ever surprised him. Probably not many, given the way his annoyance seemed to build at the thought of being bested by a witch.
much. Are you coming or not, demon?
Chapter 23. Thankfully, there were no supernatural whispers waiting for me in the chamber where Vittoria died. No insistent summoning tug or magical request from the great beyond. Only silence and the slight scrape of Wrath's boots as he moved around in the dark. At his quiet but gruff request, I handed him my satchel of supplies, grateful for a few moments to collect myself while he searched inside it for candles. According to Wrath, we'd only have a few minutes for him to sense traces of any summoning magic. He warned me there might not be any hints since more than a month had passed. I hadn't been back in this room since I first found my sister's mutilated body. If I had a choice, I'd never set foot in this cursed monastery again. I knew Vittoria wasn't here, but the ghost of that night haunted me all the same. I closed my eyes against the memory of her torn flesh, the utter stillness of death, and the blood. I rubbed my hands over my arms, though the air was pleasantly warm. It was odd how unexpected life could be. A month ago, I never would have pictured returning to the very creature I'd first found licking my sister's blood. Yet here we were. Working together. Suddenly, I was no longer lost in grief. With everything that had happened, I'd forgotten all about that morbid blood-licking detail. I spun around, relishing the weight of the demon's dagger as it bounced at my side. Just to be clear, I permitted you to leave the containment circle tonight for my benefit alone. It doesn't mean I like you. And here, I thought binding me for all eternity meant we were good friends. You haven't explained why you were licking my sister's blood. He finished digging through my bag and struck a match. Light flared up, gilding the edges of his face. Shadows darkened his gaze, but didn't hide the shimmering gold of his irises. His attention slid to the dagger and lingered. He stared at it often enough during our walk here that I couldn't help but think he was plotting creative ways of getting it back. I fought a chill as the familiar feeling of danger returned. Sometimes, especially since he agreed to help me, it was easy to forget he was one of the wicked.
You didn't ask me to.
I most certainly did.
What you said was... You were standing over her body, licking her blood from your fingers, you revolting beast.
Obviously, it made a lasting impression. He lit the candles and handed me one. I avoided his fingers, and he replied in kind.
Don't touch anything, witch. We don't want to disturb any lingering scent.
Do I even want to know what you mean by lingering scent? Or is that some hell creature fact best left to the imagination?
Tempting though it may be, it's best not to imagine me at all.
I rolled my eyes. If he didn't want to elaborate, that was perfectly fine. I didn't give a rat's tail about his precious demon senses, but I did care about Vittoria. Fine. Why were you licking her blood? He held up his candle and pivoted in place, scanning the chamber.
I was testing it.
I drew in a deep breath and prayed to the goddess of strength and reasoning to keep me from butchering him right here and now. Listen, this little alliance will work much better if you elaborate without constant prompting. Pretend I know nothing about your wicked ways. Testing her blood for what?
Forgive me, your highness.
A small smile played across his face.
I was testing it for any hints of a demon house she might have aligned herself with.
Like the blood trade you offered me? He nodded. What did you discover when you tested Vittoria's blood?
She hadn't yet aligned herself with anyone. But that doesn't mean she hadn't interacted with a prince of hell.
So even though I summoned you here... No one would know you and I are working together without a blood trade, right?
Correct.
Blood and bones. That meant Vittoria could have summoned greed or even envy. And if she hadn't agreed to a blood trade, there was no way to track that. Do you think greed or envy would want to stop Pride from marrying? He considered that.
Greed enjoys ruling his house, so no. And envy wouldn't attempt anything that would bring war to his house. He's more likely to brood about all the things he doesn't have and wants, but lacks the ambition to take it.
Conversation over. Wrath shifted back around with his candle, and something caught my attention. I bent down, scraping a bit of wax with my nail. The wax was pale rose. I suddenly remembered the candles that had been here that horrible night. I moved my light in a slow arc to see the floor better. Another smaller wax blotch was grey. I rotated, spying the same alternating pink and grey wax impressions. This was definitely the place where Vittoria had created a summoning circle. Envy said the others will come looking for me. Did he mean your brothers?
I imagine so.
Could he mean the Umbra demons too?
Perhaps.
I stared daggers at the demon prince. After he went out of his way to save my life, I wanted to scream over his short responses. I thought again about his inability to directly lie to me and narrowed my eyes. What did he mean about not knowing the future?
I wasn't there. I'm not sure exactly what he was referencing.
Wrath avoided my gaze.
He could just be using it as a fear tactic to get inside your head.
What's a shadow witch? He flicked his attention to me and gave me a look that said if I didn't know, he wasn't going to be the one to tell me. I shot him a glare that promised a long, violent death if he didn't start talking. He relented.
You've got a bit more demon blood in you than other witches.
That can't be true. You're... I shut my mouth. He couldn't lie, but there was no way that what he said was true. Our family was goddess blessed, not daughters of darkness. How would that even be possible? He arched a brow.
You do know how children are made, don't you?
Of course I do.
Good. Saves me from explaining how one of your ancestors had a fine romp with a demon and produced an heir. Probably not so distantly if Envy could tell by looking.
My grandmother said we were guardians between realms, and that Shadow Witch was the nasty name the wicked gave us. His attention was fully on me now, and I suddenly didn't want him knowing anything regarding my family's secret history. I nodded at the candle wax, changing the subject. I remember thinking the air smelled like thyme and paraffin. Is that proof she tried summoning Pride?
No. Pale rose and grey candles are used by House Greed.
He walked around the chamber.
Thyme and copper are also required when summoning a demon who belongs to that court.
Demons can only be summoned using the right color candles.
Among other things, yes. Demon courts are broken down into 7 royal houses. Each have their own rituals and requirements. Candle colors, plants, time of day, objects of intent, and metals all vary.
I pointed to the objects around us. None of this can be used to summon Pride. Or does having the Horn of Hades negate that part of the summoning spell requirement?
Even if your sister had possession of both horns, it still wouldn't work without the correct candles, metals, and plants.
He held his candle up.
Whatever happened in this chamber that night, I know your sister didn't summon Pride, and it doesn't look like she was trying to either.
She told me she was. Wrath watched me closely.
It's impossible to know what her intentions were. She very well may have wanted to summon him, but changed her mind along the way. Or if she did attempt to summon him, she didn't do that here.
I collected my growing frustration. If she didn't summon Pride, that meant Greed was to blame. He had to be. I thought about the attack on Nonna and his desire to have the Horn of Hades. It made sense that Greed wouldn't be content being a prince of hell when he could become the king of demons. Part of his sin included never being satisfied, always wanting more, not caring who or what was destroyed in the pursuit of his goals. Unexpected fury rose in me and coiled around every inch of the room. It was so powerful, my knees almost buckled from it. I vow on my blood that I'll destroy the demon who did this to Vittoria, and take pleasure in doing it. Wrath glanced at me sharply, and judging from his flash of surprise, I imagined my gaze went nearly black. My emotions were getting stronger and darker. I blamed proximity to the warrior prince. If envy inspired feelings of jealousy in me, it made sense that Wrath, intentionally or not, stoked my anger. You will help me interrogate Greed again, and if I can't kill him, you will. My sister's amulet glowed an unearthly purple. Wrath's focus drifted to it, then back to my face. I'd put it on after I'd stolen it from the Viperidae. So far, the gates of hell hadn't sprung open, and Wrath hadn't tried cutting it off my neck.
Impressive as your rousing speech and temper is, I won't be bringing war to anyone. And neither will you. At least not without irrefutable proof. The likelihood of it being Greed is very slim.
Then how did he get here? Someone summoned him. I tossed an arm around the chamber. From the looks of it, he was summoned in this room.
Not necessarily. Aside from Pride, princes of hell can travel here on their own. Plus, there is no trace of Greed's power in this chamber. Unless your sister had a personal object belonging to him, it's far more likely she, or whoever else may have set up this particular circle, summoned one of his subjects. And there are thousands of them.
But there's only one demon prince from that house who's currently in Palermo. I don't see thousands of other demons running around here, do you?
You asking rhetorically, or do you expect an answer?
I open my mouth and shut it. I had so many more questions about the demon realm, but could almost see Wrath begging me to ask them. I decided today wasn't so lucky for him. What kind of object would you need to summon Greed? A dagger like yours? I couldn't remember seeing the blade on him when I paid his gambling den a visit. More evidence that he was summoned. Maybe it's still in our bedroom.
Afraid not. He shook his head. It would have been here the night she was murdered. Whoever killed her must have taken it when they left. There's no scent in here that can be traced, though. If it's a demon, I'll have to track it a different way.
Unless you were right earlier and she didn't actually summon a demon, I mused aloud. Maybe she stumbled upon someone else trying to summon Greed, and they killed her. Or maybe they'd summoned a lesser demon and it attacked. Because the manner in which her heart had been ripped out. Only some terrible creature could have done that. I wouldn't let myself forget that I knew of only one demon who was in this chamber with my murdered twin, mere moments after she'd lost her life.
It's possible, but I don't believe it was a demon.
He stared at the altar where my twin's body had been discarded.
A lesser demon would typically go for the throat, the viscera. It wouldn't target one organ and leave. Especially something large and fierce enough to inflict that sort of damage on the body.
No pride, no greed, No clues. This excursion wasn't going as planned. I thought about the grimoire sheets I'd found. Wrath said certain color candles and objects were required when summoning a particular demon house. Trouble was, neither of the two sheets Vittoria had contained a spell that included pink and grey candles. Anger built inside me again, needing a release. Or a target. It's funny. The air was warm, but the blade I pressed into Wrath's back felt like ice in my hands. He stopped breathing. You can't lie, and I believe that's true enough. But why can't I find evidence to support your claims of innocence? Are you asking me to comment on your own perceived incompetence? Did you place the candles here as evidence that night to shift blame to greed? You must have realized my sister had summoning spells for your house, and it would implicate you.
I was unaware you summoned me using any spell other than your own. I've never had contact with your sister, aside from the night I discovered her body. You do recall that I need to find out who's killing the witches too, correct? Maybe more than you do.
Why? Because of the curse?
If we're to simplify, yes.
Tell me everything about it. I want to know who cursed the devil, why, and why it matters to me or this world. He tossed a look over his shoulder that said that line of questioning wouldn't be answered, regardless of the dagger. I considered stabbing him anyway, but it would probably only end with him refusing to answer any other questions. Have you been pretending my protection charm works?
If I was pretending, why wouldn't I have snapped your neck or used my influence by now? It's certainly not because I enjoy your spellbinding company.
Give me one reason I shouldn't shove this blade through your heart. That is how you die, isn't it? By your own weapon? And only in that one spot?
Hardly.
Are you sure? I angled the tip of the blade against his spine. I think you're omitting the truth. Know why?
Enlighten me.
I feel your gaze on me when you think I'm not paying attention. You track the dagger every time I move. You need to know where it is. That's why Envy was surprised I had it. You're almost immortal, except for that one little weakness.
So, O mighty Prince Wrath, if you don't want to die tonight, tell me why pride really sent you here.
Chapter 24. Wrath spun around and leaned forward, pressing the tip of his dagger into his chest before I could even blink. A drop of blood slipped down the metal, briefly illuminating it. I stared mutely as the demon's wound healed before my eyes. He angled his head down. If either of us moved, our lips would touch. I didn't so much as breathe too deeply.
A dagger to the heart hurts, witch. But it'll take much more than that to destroy a prince of hell. If you still think I'm lying, go ahead and stab me.
A wild part of me wished to test the theory, if only to determine if he was being honest. Another, quieter part, still reeling with grief, wanted to hand him the blade and see if my protection charm really worked. I decided now wasn't the time for foolish risks, and sheathed his weapon. I stepped away from him, trying not to think of it as retreating. He made no move to stop or pursue me, only watched as I put a few feet of space between us.
Will you at least tell me about the curse? I think we could...
Wrath set his candle on the stone altar and was before me a breath later. And he was entirely too close, his back brushed against my chest. I lifted my hands to shove him, when I heard the faint sound of footsteps heading our way.
Did you tell anyone we were coming here?
Wrath asked. I shook my head, terrified greed or envy had tracked us. Wrath's body was coiled, ready to strike.
I did my best to calm my breaths.
Hello?
A familiar, deep voice called out from the corridor. Blood and bones, I threw my head back and groaned. Not now. Wrath shot me a look over his shoulder.
Someone you know?
I nodded, and the demon relaxed his fighting stance. Light from a lantern preceded our visitor into the room, and I internally cursed the interruption. Wrath stepped aside and appeared downright jovial at my annoyance. I ignored him as Antonio walked in and promptly halted.
Amelia?
Antonio's gaze warmed when it landed on me, only to narrow when he saw I wasn't alone. He glanced between me and my menacious companion, clearly at a loss for words.
I heard voices.
His focus drifted back to Wrath, took in the serpent tattoo that started from the top of the demon's hand, coiled around his wrist, and disappeared up his sleeve. Then his gaze shifted between the matching ink on both of our forearms. His look was unreadable.
Antonio stood straighter. Is everything all right?
Wrath inspected Antonio in a way that sent goosebumps skittering over my body. I quickly put myself between them and offered my old friend a sheepish smile. I'm sorry if we were too loud. I asked. I hesitated. I couldn't very well call him Wrath. The demon prince shifted into view. He gave me a slight shake of his head. It was hard to tell if it was a warning to not give his name, or if he was simply getting a better look at my discomfort. My friend, Samael, is visiting, and we wanted to light a candle for Vittoria. Antonio didn't seem convinced, and I couldn't blame him. I wasn't a very good actress. I really hoped he didn't keep asking questions. If I had to guess, lying to a holy man in a place of worship, in the presence of a demon who was on a secret mission from the devil, was probably bad luck.
Unusual name, he finally said. Where did you say he was visiting from? She didn't. Would you like to fetch us some sacramental wine and delve into my lineage?
Wrath flashed a look that bordered on predatory.
I wouldn't mind getting to know you better either, especially if you're such a good friend of my Amelia's.
Wrath said the word friend like he thought Antonio was anything but. My mouth hung open for an entirely different reason, though. I couldn't begin to understand why Wrath had said my Amelia's. Honestly, I wasn't sure if the demon even remembered my name since he only ever tossed around witch. Antonio seemed just as stunned.
Your?
Apologies, Antonio. I recovered quickly and shot Wrath a warning look as I slipped my arm through the fratello's, swiftly angling him toward the door. I'd wager anything the Prince of Wrath was only trying to make my friend angry so he could siphon those emotions, just like envy had done to me. You'll have to forgive his rudeness. His journey was long, and it's not under the most pleasant circumstances. Antonio's arm had a surprising bit of muscle hidden beneath his robes, but he didn't try and stop me as I guided him into the corridor. Is it all right if we stay for a few more minutes to say our prayers? Antonio looked down into my eyes, and his expression softened.
Of course. I'll be in the next corridor near the Qualatoio if you need me.
Thank you. I exhaled as he slowly made his way down the hall toward the preparation room, waiting until his lantern could no longer be seen before I re-entered the chamber. Wrath leaned against the altar and stared at me, one brow arched. It was one of the most human expressions I'd ever seen him wear.
Samael, really? That was the best name you could come up with.
He was the Prince of Rome, and an angel of death.
I'd say that sounds pretty fitting.
You're more than welcome to tell me your real name. Then you won't have to get your undergarments twisted about ones I make up. He strode over to me, stopping at an almost decent space.
Do not ever call me that again. I am no angel witch. Never make that mistake.
You don't say. And here I was under the impression most humans considered Samael the devil. I brushed past him and went back to the traces of wax left from Vittoria's summoning circle. Do you?
Have you and that human ever shared a bed?
I spun around, completely taken off guard by his question. I expected to see a smirk or sneer, and wasn't prepared for the genuine curiosity I found. I wasn't sure which was more disturbing. First, that's none of your business. And second, why would you ask such an asinine thing? In case you didn't notice, he's a man of God.
He hasn't always been.
I clamped my mouth shut. He'd only recently become a member of the Brotherhood, and it hadn't stopped me from pining over him. Truth was, I often dreamed about him trailing kisses down my throat, knotting his fist in my hair, and choosing me instead of his holy brotherhood. Right before he took that oath, I saw he seemed interested in pursuing a romance with me. He'd stop by Sea and Vine, offer to walk me home, and linger outside my door. A few times, I was convinced he was working up the nerve to steal a kiss. He'd chatter nervously about his favorite books. Vittoria would waggle her brows and slip inside, leaving me alone with him. But he never closed the distance between us. And none of that mattered now, for multiple reasons. Are you able to find anything useful here to help us with Vittoria's murder?
Your pulse is pounding.
Wrath made to reach for the vein in my neck, but stopped shy of making contact with my skin.
Just like your humans when I claimed you. Odd for such a pious man to get so jealous.
His attention moved across my face, and he took his time shifting it to my eyes, my lips, tracing each curve and whirl of the tattoo my fluttering sleeve couldn't hide. Wildflowers continued to bloom across each of our arms, along with vibrant frangipani blossoms. It must have happened after the spell he'd used to save me. He studied me carefully, as if he was imagining what Antonio saw, and slid his focus down inch by inch until he'd taken in everything from my face to my sandals, then dragged it back up just as slowly. I had little doubt that he'd catalogued minute details and stored them away for future analysis. Perhaps he was memorizing my size for a coffin. I commanded my heart to steady itself. Is there a point to any of this, or are you simply trying to evoke my wrath again?
There's a point to everything, witch. We just have to figure out how it all connects. Don't discount your friend simply because he's mortal. Emotions are powerful forces. People kill for much less than greed or jealousy.
I tried to imagine Antonio sneaking around at night, murdering young women. I'd say Wrath was wrong, but I knew enough of man to believe that anyone was capable of anything at any time. While I wasn't convinced Antonio had any motivation for killing, I'd keep all options open just in case. For all I knew, he really was running around summoning demons and ripping out hearts between prayer sessions. If we can't find proof Vittoria summoned pride, I said, what should we do next? He stared at me a moment too long before looking away.
I'll send a message to the next potential bride. Hopefully she'll meet us tomorrow and we can be done with this.
The world stopped spinning. I stared at him a beat, processing the fact that another witch had made a bargain, and he'd been aware of it. You promised to stop helping Pride, and you knew about another witch. He nodded. Why is this the first you're telling me?
First, I agreed to not harm a witch or force her into a bargain. Second, I was going to share the information after the Viperidae attack, but you banished me to the summoning circle before I got the chance to.
How convenient for him. Did you return to your realm to get this information?
No. Once summoned, I cannot leave this world until you send me back. Or unless my connection is severed with a demon blade.
What about the transfer, whatever?
Transvenio. My ties to you prevent me from freely traveling between realms, but they also allow me to stay here longer than I normally could. Put simply, our bond anchors me here.
So how did you get the information about the new bargain?
Pride sent a messenger.
It was too simple for comfort. I didn't like that the devil could send messages between realms. It made me think of the Umbra demon again, and how it had taken the blade to my grandmother with ease. Maybe the devil was tired of witches wearing his horns. If you can only leave this realm when I send you back, how are you planning on delivering her to hell?
A spark of admiration lit his gaze.
I'm only speaking with her tomorrow. I said nothing of taking her to hell.
He gave me a once-over, and I wondered if he found me to be a formidable opponent.
I'm going to secure a building tonight. Once I find a location, I'll send a note telling you where I'll be. If you don't hear from me by dusk, meet me back at the cavern.
Chapter 25. I pulled the mortar and pestle from the shelf, face strained in concentration as I gathered up the olive oil, garlic, almonds, basil, pecorino, and cherry tomatoes for the pesto alla trapanese.
On days such as this, when the sun was sweltering before noon and even the thinnest dress clung like a second skin, I enjoyed adding fresh mint to the tomato pesto. Unfortunately, we were out of it at the moment. I set my supplies down and pulled up my wavy hair, allowing a few shorter strands to frame my face. There were no flowers in my locks today. They'd go limp and wither in moments. The back of my neck was already sticky, and the day had only just begun. I was seriously reconsidering my choice to wear white as I tied an apron over my sleeveless dress. I would have preferred to keep my magical tattoo hidden, but there was no way I'd survive the heat, even with sheer sleeves. Hopefully, no one in my family would notice the pale ink, especially if I angled my arm away. I was deep in thoughts of picturing Wrath trying the tomato pesto, when my mother joined me in our little kitchen and grabbed sardines from the icebox. You didn't come home. My mother wasn't asking, and her tone was almost as sharp as the knife she was using to debone the fish. Would you care to explain where you were all night? I would sooner sell my soul. I kept my attention on the pesto, crushing the almonds just right. There was no way I was admitting to working with a blood-drinking demon to solve Vittoria's murder. And not only had I temporarily aligned myself with one of the Malvagi, but I also had spoken with two others. Oh, and by the way, an invisible mercenary demon was following me around, sputtering cryptic warnings, attacked Nonna, and might assassinate me if ordered to. Then, I'd almost died in a Viperidae attack, and a prince of hell saved me using ancient dark magic that required both of us to be naked in a tub. My mother's head would spin. But at least the tattoo wouldn't seem half as bad. I was at the monastery. I know. I jerked my gaze to hers, startled. How? Fratello Antonio stopped by this morning, concerned. She went at the next sardine with gusto, slipping the knife under the skin and dragging it down the spine. He said you were with a young man, a friend of our families. Said his name was an odd one. I save your lives, child. Mama's grip on her knife tightened. They're the gateway to hell. I snapped my mouth shut. My mother must know. She must have seen through my ruse and had somehow pieced together that I used the dark arts. And Fratello Antonio Bernardo had confirmed her fears. I swallowed hard, debating how honest I should be with her. Well, you see,
Tumbling around dark places with handsome young men might distract you from the pain for a little while, but it won't ever take it away. You need to find your own inner strength for that.
What?
Mama shook her knife in my direction. Don't go pretending you have no idea what I'm saying. You're lucky your grandmother was sleeping and didn't overhear him. She has enough to worry about while she's healing. She doesn't need to stress over devilish men. Fratello Antonio told me all about that young man. From the sound of it, you've bewitched him, too. Antonio said he called you his Emilia. You're no one's but your own girl. Don't ever forget it. Sweet goddess above. This was so much worse than Nonna finding out I'd summoned a demon. Heat blossomed across my face and crept down my neck that had nothing to do with the soaring temperatures. My mother thought Wrath and I had been. I might die of mortification. Even picturing him naked, tugging me to his solid tattooed body, radiating his infuriating heat as he put his stupid mouth on mine, and I gripped him back like he was both my eternal damnation and salvation as we... I needed to stop that train of thought immediately. I wasn't as disgusted by the image as I thought I'd be. I knew Wrath's juvenile taunt would come back to sink its nasty fangs into me one day. I just hadn't quite pictured it occurring like this. Mama set her knife down, her expression softening. She completely misread the reason behind my reddening face. Love or enjoy whoever's company you want. But you need to be more careful. If your father had answered the door... She trailed off, nor having to finish the sentence to drive the point home. Pummeling the person who was tumbling his daughter would be the perfect way to work out some of his own grief. Defending a daughter's honor was an age-old male pastime. Antiquated human behavior aside, I couldn't believe Antonio had come to our home. My attention sought out the little clock for the 1,000th time. The afternoon was dragging by. There were hours left until I had to meet Wrath. To give my hands something to do besides fantasize about wrapping themselves around Antonio's neck, I removed the damp cloth from the mound of dough and began rolling the pasta for the buziate. I couldn't believe I ever wanted to kiss that nosy fool. Oh, and Emilia? I paused my assault of the dough and looked at my mother. Make extra buziate. I promised Antonio you'd bring some over today with your apologies. I smiled. I'd happily make extra pasta and dump it all over the troublesome fratello's head. Buon appetito. I slammed two baskets onto the long wooden table in the dining hall, not bothering to remove the covered trays of food within them. The small gathering of men waiting for their meal went silent. Antonio paused his conversation with another member around his age, concern crinkling his brow. I gave him a look that I hoped promised a slow, torturous death. And it must have worked. He shot to his feet and hastily escorted me into the corridor. I tolerated his hand on my bare arm until we were out of sight, then shrugged him off. Sleeveless bodice or not, I didn't appreciate the liberty he'd taken with touching my skin.
Is something wrong, Emilia?
I cannot believe you told my mother I was here with someone last night, I hissed. What I do and who I spend my time with doesn't concern you.
Antonio's jaw tightened.
Your sister was murdered here, and a month later, I find you in the same chamber with someone I've never seen, and whose name you refused to give. Forgive me if I wanted to check to make sure you were all right.
If you were that worried, you could have easily waited in the monastery and walked me home. You didn't have to show up at my house before dawn.
He closed his eyes, leading me to wonder what exactly was going on in his head. He had to know how much trouble he could have caused. No one was that naive. Finally, when he looked at me again, the fight seemed to leave him. His voice was quiet when he said,
"Another girl was murdered after we spoke last night. And I couldn't stop worrying it was you. After what happened with Vittoria, I had to be sure it wasn't. I apologize for any trouble. I wasn't thinking clearly."
I sucked in a sharp breath. We were too late. Someone must have discovered the identity of the witch Wrath had planned to meet later. But how? My mind spun. Wrath said he was the only prince who knew about the potential brides, but that didn't mean other princes didn't have ways of figuring that out. Spies were utilized in human royal courts, the same likely held true in the demon world. I thought about the invisible Umbra demons who worked for greed. If he'd sent one after me and it attacked Nonna, it was probable one of them was also passing the names of potential brides along to him. I still hadn't quite figured out why he wanted the witches dead, though. Maybe it was just to ensure the devil didn't break the curse and never left hell. Antonio reached over and tucked a loose wave behind my ear, his fingers lingering a moment too long. A few weeks ago, my heart would have fluttered madly in my chest. Now, I couldn't help but remember how easily one could be torn from a person. "Do you know who it was?" I asked. Antonio stepped back, looked a bit dazed as he dropped his hand. When he still didn't answer, I clarified. "The girl from last night." He shook his head.
"Rumors, but nothing that's been confirmed. The consensus so far is she had dark hair and eyes like the others, which isn't much since nearly everyone on this island fits the description."
"Where was her body found?"
"That I don't know. If anyone from the Brotherhood was called there to bless the body, I haven't heard about it. But I'm sure the market will be abuzz with information tonight. It always is."
Antonio was right. The vendors knew everything and everyone. Customers from all over the city were in and out of their stalls all day, trading information and gossip while they shopped. Of course, stories were often embellished, but the truth usually remained tucked somewhere inside the exaggerations. Luckily, I had another, more reliable source who knew the name of our victim. It was almost dusk, so Wrath should be in the cave by the time I got there. I'd grabbed the demon, ask him everything he knew about the witch, then go to the market and find out the location of the murder. Hopefully, Wrath could test the scene like he'd done before. Only this time, we'd be successful with finding out which demon prince was responsible. Then, goddess be with him. I had little doubt the demon of war would take almost as much pleasure in destroying the murderer as I would. Chapter 26. Throngs of people elbowed their way through the busy marketplace, but still managed to give Wrath a wide berth. I wondered if they sensed his otherness and just didn't know what to make of it. There was a quiet assurance about him, a confidence in himself and the space he occupied. Men and women paused in their gossiping, their gazes tracing him as we passed by. Some appreciatively, some with open distrust and scorn. Though that might be because murder was the topic of the evening, and Wrath looked like trouble. I imagined wandering through the crowded, twisting streets with a leashed panther would give off the same aura of primal danger. If someone was temporarily out of their senses, I admit there could be a certain level of excitement, being close to something so lethal. My senses were mostly intact, though. I knew there was no taming the wild beast, only the illusions of domesticity it cast when it felt like toying with its next meal. The fine clothes and impeccable manners were all part of a well-crafted trap to lure prey, likely honed eons before man walked the earth. Wrath was a predator through and through. I had a feeling if I let myself forget that even for a second, he'd happily sink his teeth into my throat and rip it out.
He caught me staring and raised a brow.
Enjoying what you see, witch?
Only if I had a death wish.
Do you?
Not even a little one.
His eyes glittered with dark amusement. Of course the topic of death would appeal to him.
Which vendor do you believe knows about the murder location?
I nodded toward the center of the marketplace where the apparel section began. Booths with fabrics and silks rustled in the slight breeze, beckoning us over.
Salvatore is one of the best gossips in the city. If anyone has reliable information about Giulia, it's him.
I glanced down at Rath's shirt.
He's also the vendor who sold me that. I see. You brought me here to commit murder while we investigate one.
The good humor promptly left Rath's face. I hid my grin as his nostrils flared. For a vengeful prince of hell, he certainly was touchy about clothing. And I was pretty sure he was only teasing about killing the vendor.
I hoped.
In fact, I was surprised he was joking at all. After I left the monastery, I went straight to him and delivered the news. I'd been convinced he'd lay waste to the whole city. Instead, he calmly reported everything he knew about the potential bride. Her name was Giulia Santarini, and he hadn't been able to get a message to her last night. I'd taken a second to digest this latest revelation. I thought over everything again now. I knew her family. They sold spices at the Calza district, and Vittoria used to volunteer to stop by their shop and pick up orders for Sea and Vine when Uncle Nino and my father couldn't. Giulia's grandmother, Sophia, was the witch whose mind had gotten trapped between realms, shifting between realities so swiftly she no longer knew what was real and what was a vision. As far as I knew, after what happened to Sophia, the Santorinis never dabbled in the dark arts again. Maybe I was wrong. Maybe Giulia decided to invoke the dark arts like her grandma. And maybe she was the one who'd given my sister those mysterious grimoire pages. The thought stopped me cold. If Giulia had somehow given my sister a spell to summon a demon, it made sense that she'd taken it from her grandmother's grimoire, since Sophia was known to use the dark arts. Maybe the grimoire was the missing link. I thought again about the first book of spells, about the magic binding my sister's diary. Was that the connection between the murders? Maybe not the dark arts, but the source material.
What's wrong? Rath asked, breaking into my thoughts. You look strange.
Are you sure you didn't tell Giulia to meet you last night? I asked.
Rath shot me a look that silently communicated he might strangle me if we went over this again. To be fair, I might have already asked him half a dozen times on our walk into the city, and half a dozen more once we were here. Maybe you're double-crossing pride and killed her. He let out a long sigh.
I assure you that is still not the case. I have no reason to kill anyone. As I said before, my message never made it to her.
I knew he wasn't double-crossing anyone, but liked hearing him get flustered. Do you think one of your brothers killed her?
No.
And we're back to one-word answers.
Careful, witch, or I might think you're interested in having a civil conversation.
The barest hint of a smile ghosted across his lips as I rolled my eyes.
Simple answers don't require padding.
Why don't you think one of your brothers did it?
What reason would they have?
Let me count the ways, oh wicked one.
I ticked off motivations on my fingers. Greed might be interested in taking the throne. Maybe envy is jealous and wants more power. If pride doesn't marry, then he remains cursed and can't leave hell. Which is a pretty decent motivation if one of your brothers wants to rule this realm. Shall I go on?
Rath glared at me, but didn't respond.
Apparently he didn't like my accusations, but couldn't find a way to discredit them as foolish theories. We turned the corner, stepped around a pile of precariously towering wooden crates, and narrowly avoided getting speared by a swordfish head. Wrath took in all the sights and colours silently. I wondered if he had anything like it where he was from, but didn't ask. A sea of people standing in line for gelato parted for us as we crossed the road and entered the clothing section. Salvatore was in the middle of arguing with someone over another threadbare tunic when Wrath stopped at his table, emanating that quiet menace he was so good at. Conversations ceased. The other patron took one look at the expression on the demon's face and bolted into the crowd, the clothing in question discarded and forgotten.
You and I have business, vendor. I don't believe we...
Sal's attention shifted to the shirt Wrath wore, then shot to me. I gave him a little finger wave. I tried warning him about the condition and cost. Now he could deal with an angry demon. I felt the not-so-subtle rattling of Wrath's namesake emotion as it slithered toward Sal and wound around him. The vendor's hand trembled as he pushed it through his dark hair.
Signor, how nice. The shirt is...
being exchanged for that one.
Wrath jerked his chin toward the row of clothing hanging behind the stool. The most expensive pieces, judging from the drape of them. Sal opened his mouth, took in the set of Wrath's shoulders, then closed it, and plastered on a big, false smile.
Smart man. A bargain indeed.
Sal cringed as he removed the black shirt from the hanger and handed it over. Well, he tried to hand it over. He clutched it before Wrath finally snatched it away.
This is a fine, fine garment, signor. It's a perfect match for your trousers. May you wear it well.
I rolled my eyes skyward. Sal cracked under pressure from the demon faster than an egg hitting the ground. Next time I wanted a good deal, I'd have to try scowling and summoning some quiet menace too. Wrath was out of the tawny monstrosity a breath later and tossed the offending garment back at the vendor. If the demon prince hadn't already caused a disturbance before, his bare, sculpted chest certainly did now. He slipped the new shirt on, seemingly unaware of the effect he had on the people nearest us. Muscles, supple and sinuous, moved with practiced ease. His serpent tattoo also caused quite a stir. Someone nearby commented on how large it was, how lifelike. Another person whispered about its possible meaning. A line of people that had been meandering through the clothing stalls halted to watch. I begged the goddess of serenity to send me some in buckets, then turned to Salvatore to get what we actually came here for. Do you have any information about Julia?
I sure do. Reliable sources, too. I heard from Baby down at the docks, who spoke to Angelo, who makes ricotta near the palace, that her heart was ripped clean from her chest.
Despite the graphic nature of his gossip, Sal looked immensely pleased with himself.
Arnona was the one who went a bit.
He lifted his pointer finger to his temple and made circles, an offensive gesture indicating madness. I went to admonish him when a member of the Brotherhood walked by the stool and touched his forehead, heart, and each shoulder in the sign of the cross.
Anyway, whatever got her was vicious. Angelo said blood spread all over the building. Looked like animals ripped her apart. He had a devil of a time cleaning it up. Chunks of...
I'm sorry, but where was her body found? I asked, cutting him off mid-description. I had my own nightmares about how that looked firsthand and didn't need any more details. You mentioned someone who works near the palace.
That's right. Angelo with the ricotta said it was near his stall out front. Prime location.
Sal jerked his chin to the right.
The police are still there, so you won't miss the crowd. If you hurry, you might still see the body.
It was impossible to get within sight of the murder scene, Sal's information was indeed reliable, and it looked like he'd told a few hundred of his closest confidants the same thing he'd shared with us. Wrath was about to barrel his way through, but I reached out to stop him. How close do you need to be to... I glanced around. There were too many humans around for me to start talking about demons. To do your special investigation. Wrath was well-versed in the art of deception. He didn't miss a beat.
I'd like to get a better visual, but I can tell from here that none of my brothers have recently been in the area.
I scrunched my nose. His heightened sense of smell was unsettling. I rolled up onto my toes, trying to see over the heads of everyone. Wrath startled me by briefly placing a hand on my back so I wouldn't wobble. I couldn't see the body, thank the goddess,